please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and social media and the direction of your day to make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, add us to your subscription list-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, July 23rd, 2020, and there's a very special little lady, our littlest optimist, celebrating her first birthday today.
Oh, today's the actual day, Summers. That's pretty cool.
It is. I know your dislike of the song Happy Birthday, but I have been singing Happy Birthday since about 4:30 this morning when she woke up. She decided that she was so excited for her birthday this morning that she did have one of her early morning rise and shines. And I found a Spotify list that plays Happy Birthday, and it has like all different dance versions. So we've been having like dance parties, and it's pretty cute. I know that a lot of parents have gotten to the first birthday and sort of felt that overwhelming joy of, wow, how did the year go by so quickly and yet so slowly? And I'm really excited. I really, really, really think that this past year has been so much fun, and being her mommy is definitely my favorite job. I like the Optimist Daily job too, but don't get me wrong, but yeah, I like the mommy job, and it's pretty fabulous.
Oh, that's wonderful. And happy birthday to little Brennan. And it's good you're getting her indoctrinated into the American happy birthday culture.
Oh, no. I've been doing the Italian one and the Spanish one. Like, it's multilingual.
Feliz cumpleaños también.
Exactly. Like, Santiago. There's been lots of languages involved. And actually, her big sister got her bilingual books of 10 little fingers and 10 little toes and head, shoulders, knees, and toes, because we do try very hard on Thursdays exclusively to try to speak Spanish to Brennan so that she just has some familiarity that there's more to the world than just American English. How are you today? I know I'm very happy and hyper. How are you today, my dear?
Well, I have not been up since 4 a.m, so I'm a little bit slower and a little bit chiller, but I'm very good. I got to get out there for a good walk this morning and down by the river over near my house, and I got a really sandy dog in the end, which he's happy sitting by my feet right now.
Aw.
Yeah. So I'm well. I'm just keeping on, keeping on.
Good. Well, keeping on, keeping on should be like the theme of July, because I think it's almost over, which is crazy that there is only a week left in July. Every day, I think we marvel about the passing of time. And I think at some point, Amelia is going to give us a producer's note that's like, hey, enough on being surprised about the date. But it is this March forward, and there's good things ahead.
It's July forward now, not March anymore.
I was going to say, I didn't mean for that to be a pun, but it was. So I think we have to now start like our pun cookies, because we get our transition cookies. But anyway, when we look ahead to the month ahead and August, there's a lot of good things to look forward to in August. Like in particular, a certain birthday for a certain Optimist Daily Update host.
Oh, yes. Well, mine's coming up just in another week or two. That's good. Let's not talk about that, though.
Oh, birthdays are fun. Let's see. What else do we have to look forward to in August?
Well, it is, for many people, the time when we normally be going back to school.
Yes.
Santa Barbara High is starting in August, although it will be starting remote learning.
Yeah. Last week you were talking about that the community had made a conclusion and decision that they wanted to be remote. A couple days later in California, the governor passed a mandate that required that any county where students were attending school had to be off the watch list for 2 weeks period of time in order for our in-class instruction. I know that there's a number of schools that are applying for waivers and whatnot now, but what is happening with Santa Barbara schools and with specifically your beautiful children's education?
I mean, so the decision as of today is that they will reopen, or the school will start again this semester towards the end of August, but it's going to be all remote. They were trying to roll out a hybrid schedule where half the student body will be going 2 days a week, and the other half would be the other 2 days a week, and then there'd be one day which would be remote. But that, I think, got scrapped for the moment because mm-hmm. Santa Barbara County is still over that limit, whatever that limit. I don't know off the top of my head. Honestly, for me and for my family, that's a bit of a relief because in our quarantine pod, there are some elderly folks and also some folks who are immunocompromised in one way or another. I think it would be a challenge to figure out how to feel really safe sending my son to school and having him live in the midst of the folks. So I think we were planning to keep him home anyway. But on the other hand, we are in a demographic and a situation that I feel very fortunate to be in because I don't have a small child like you mm-hmm. do. I have a lot of support. And I know we're going to talk about some headlines today that touch on schooling and education and high schoolers. So, you know, I feel for parents who are not in the situation that I'm in. And I know that this is a real, real concerning issue.
Well, the headlines that we're going to talk about today, Christy and I are definitely in an education mindset this morning. In addition, there's, you know, obviously a broad spectrum of articles on the Optimist Daily. But if you are interested in education and what's happening with the future of education, as well as some fascinating efforts by some amazing teenagers, keep on listening. The headline I am going to talk about today is, "We taught school outdoors in the past. Could we do it again?" So on social and in lots of my mom groups, I have seen pictures and these fabulous historic pictures of outdoor schools being shared. And the conversation, you know, I think originally came from a small blog post. It ended up being a New York Times article. It's been all over the internet talking about the opportunity for outdoor education and spacious education. There are a lot of daycares and Montessori and primary early education programs here in California that focus on having the kids outdoor as much as possible. And in fact, a book I am reading right now called Happiest Toddler on the Block talks about how having our kids outside is a much more natural and expansive experience for them, and that being inside all the time is really tricky for their cognitive development just because of all the various inputs. They don't get to just sit and stare at trees. I know, Christy, we were talking about our experiences over the weekend being in big outdoor spaces. So this particular article talks about creating outdoor learning spaces in New York City for the over 1.1 million public school students. It is an effort by the leadership in New York City to look at options and build open outdoor air spaces and rooftop spaces for children. Outdoor schools were largely successful until the mid-1900s. They were slowly phased out. And this is a great opportunity to talk about what education can look like going forward. Of course, there are challenges with outdoor education, right? Number one, not every state can have outdoor education year round. There are certain times of year, and as it turns out, summertime is where schools largely don't have class, and that might be the nicest time of year for certain areas.
I don't know. I think this is really interesting, though, and I think there is something to be said with having a lot more outside time spent. One of the things that I have found interesting in this work at home, stay at home, shelter at home timeline, more people have been discovering the outdoors as a place to recreate and a place mm-hmm. to escape their homes, whether it's their home office or their little home life. I was listening to an article talking about just that this last year, the spring and the summer, they've seen a tremendous fivefold increase of people experiencing the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to camping instead of to hotel kinds of vacations, if they are able to take a vacation at all. So I think that helping children really spend more time in the great outdoors is not a bad thing. I think Finland has some programs where they put a lot of time in being outside in their educational programs, especially for younger kids. Mm-hmm. And they always are scoring at the top of the educational attainment right. around the world.
Educational success.
And, there is actually a movement for young kids. I had a former housemate that was working in a school which was dedicated to outdoor learning for all kids. And if it rained, it rained and the kids would get a little wet, but then they'd bring them inside and dry them off and they'd wear raincoats. And it's not about the negative outside environment. As long as you are prepared for it, it makes a lot of sense. So I think this is a great story. And this is one way that we can make our schools more able to open. And I think as much as the educational attainment that is required by in-person learning, I think the social life is really important for kids. But it has to be done safely. And
there are some other solutions that you were reading about that are not covered in this article. But let's talk about kind of a hot topic right now, is pod learning.
Yeah, this was another one that I've been doing some reading and research on. Many people in the U.S. right now are starting to join these like parenting pods. And that might be somebody it might be in a neighborhood where you might hire a tutor. And this is usually somebody who's like a recent graduate or somebody who has math skills or teaching skills and they're not being employed right now. Parents have been pooling their resources and hiring these folks to work as tutors for a small group of kids. So maybe they have 9 students and they all are now working with a particular tutor for math or for science or for other subjects. And it takes a little bit of a load off of the parents who are parenting at home, and it gives the students extra support. I know that this might be sort of a way of pooling resources. Most families don't have the income to hire private tutors. But if you pool resources and you get into a group of families, and maybe it could even be a group of families who are comfortable sharing physical space, and you end up with sort of a quarantine pod that expands a little bit, and you have kids who can then relate to each other. It's just an interesting model that's coming out. And usually I think it's in the middle class, upper class families who even have that much of a disposable income to devote.
Exactly. Well, and I think
that's the controversy, right?
Exactly. There are a couple controversies about it, but we've talked about that the democratization of education, access to information is one of the biggest, in my belief, founding principles of our country, our modern country. And pod learning is something that doesn't remember students who are of a lower socioeconomic or, you know, basically.
It's like taking care of it ourselves within our families or a group of families, a group of friends. Often you'll lose diversity because people really spend time with people who are more like them, whether it's, you know, ethnicity or background or socioeconomic status.
Yeah.
And it's going to be more dedicated to people who are in that upper socioeconomic status, who have that extra income even to pool, even if they can't afford private tutoring, but they can afford this pod tutoring kind of situation. But what about
and also have access to space for more people in their home and I've also seen some educators who kind of raise red flags about the experience because they want to make sure that the education and the learning is high quality, right? And then there's also service providers like daycare providers who are concerned about this and how unlicensed pods might not serve the children well. And so it's a really interesting direction, but there are challenges around.
There are definitely challenges, but I think it'd be interesting to consider kind of this kind of resilient networking, and how do we bring it into every single community in our nation? How do we make it accessible, not just for suburban kids who are in middle class, upper middle class families, but for kids who are living in multi-generational households in the inner city, you know, who have single parent families? I mean, I do a lot of co-parenting with my son and the other kids that I'm involved with and who I have been involved with. And that's because of the sort of interesting family constellation that I am, that I enjoy. But having the kind of resilient, deep relationships with other families, it's how most kids have been raised in this world, not just talking about America. The nuclear family constellation, I think, is a little bit unusual as far as human experience in the history of humanity. So I think having these kind of more resilient, collectivist kinds of opportunities for raising our children, for teaching our children, isn't necessarily a bad thing. We just have to figure out how to incorporate it at a bigger scale so that it's more inclusive and it's not an exclusionary experience. And I know we have to move on. The other...
I know, we do. But the next one, the one that you want to talk about, is really exciting and really
impressive. The headline I wanted to highlight was high schoolers create coloring book to teach children about the pandemic. And this is in our design section on the Optimist Daily. And I think this is wonderful. One of the things that you and I are always saying this, but I think we really underestimate the intelligence in our high schoolers and in our young people. I'm not talking about superstars. I'm talking about normal, regular, old teenagers, the 15, 16, 17-year-olds who are treated like children. And yes, they are growing, and yes, they are young and need real supervision. But they also are very innovative, very creative, very intelligent individuals who have so much to offer. When I was 15 years old, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this on this show before, but I didn't actually go to high school because my family was traveling a lot during that period of time. I did distance learning. This was long before it became the thing to do. I was homeschooled for high school. And then I dropped out of high school because I was sailing around the world at that time. When I was 14 years old, I was doing the provisioning for my family, me and my 14-year-old colleague. At the time, we were doing the shopping for everybody, for Ocean Crossings. So I think we underestimate our kids in a way, while we also want to protect them. I think not allowing kids to do wonderful things is it's unfortunate. This story is about four high schoolers from Long Beach Polytechnic High School. They created a coloring book as their end of year project, and now they are developing a business plan to sell it. It's called Be the Change Coloring Company. It's a 28-page COVID-focused coloring book that features funny characters, and it aims to teach children about the pandemic and about the coronavirus and how to keep themselves safe, how to, you know, understand this from a mental health and a physical health and a public health perspective. And I just think this is a great, creative, innovative project.
Well, I want to take a moment to say each of these extraordinary people's names: Lauren Hong, Ella Matlock, Sophia Migliazza, and Aaron Rogers. And I'm currently on their Be the Change Coloring Co. site. You can pre-order the coloring book. So I will be doing that. And one of the great things about how you can order this coloring book is 40% of the proceeds go to a charity of your choice, which just sends chills up my spine, because they are young people who recognize that do good and do well coexist. And this is exactly the future that we need to be optimistic about and to call in a better tomorrow. I love these people and amazing kids. And thank you for being our role models today. I want you to come and speak at our next meeting. You're awesome.
They are awesome.
Speaking of our next meeting, should we go?
Yeah, we have to get going. But I just want to just call out a couple of other headlines that I really appreciated today. There's a story about mayors wanting guaranteed income programs to help us recover from COVID-19. That's sparked off by Mayor Tubbs in Stockton, who we've talked about before. But I think that's an interesting one. Greta Thunberg wins a €1 million prize and donates it all to climate action. Good on you, Greta. When users play this virtual game, millions of real trees are planted. This is for those who like Animal Crossing. This is a better game that actually donates trees.
I almost talked about this one for all you gamers out there, but yeah, it's great. Read it.
The company Apple has pledged to become a carbon neutral company by 2030. And that means that every single device that they're selling seeks to have a zero carbon footprint. And I think that's great. Pakistan has met UN goal on climate action 10 years ahead of schedule. Pakistan has done this, and this is part of their billion tree planting project. They have a green stimulus package. If they can do that, why can't we?
Absolutely. The last two on here are stickers that help people with disabilities get a seat on public transit, and more floating movie theaters coming to a city near you. So everybody, thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And if you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the podcast and becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for only $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism and Summers and me producing this, and Amelia producing this daily podcast. And you can also be a part of the solution-changing consciousness, addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free for those who need it, supported by those who can.
Thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic Thursday. See you tomorrow.